Spectacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast presents episode 446, New York Comic Con 2014, recorded live on October 14th, 2014. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, BioWolf.
And we are back again, pretty short after our last podcast. We talked about the IGN First coverage, but now we're here to talk about New York Comic Con and everything that we got to see there. I have two special guests with me tonight over from HaloCollector.com. They're a Facebook community that's dedicated to collecting all things Halo, whether it be figurines, books, Mega Bloks, all that good stuff. And first up is Mr. Kevin Hurd. Welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, definitely. We're glad to have you guys on. And then we have Laird McLean. He's on here as well.
Shave my head. I can be, Mr. Clean, like Frankie.
Mr. Chief, Mr. Clean. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should change your gamer tag.
Nah, it took me long enough to get the one I have.
All right, fair enough. Thanks to these two gentlemen that are in here, I was actually able to go to New York Comic Con this year and get to see some of the new stuff that's coming out in terms of the figures, the toys that will be hitting the shelves here pretty soon, if they're not out already, and a couple other books and collectible things that I'm sure a lot of Halo fans would love to get their hands on. But I guess first things first, we're going to dive into a little bit of bulletin information, get that out of the way, and then we'll dive straight into the New York Comic Con coverage. So, as you guys remember, last week was a barrage of info coming out from IGN with their IGN First coverage, and they talked a lot about what's going on with the Master Chief Collection, and of course, as of this recording, it comes out in 4 weeks. We're just 28 days away from the release of the Master Chief Collection. I know I'm excited. I'm pretty sure everyone in here is excited to get the game and finally play it.
Oh, you know it.
Yes, so excited that I ordered the collector's edition from the UK.
As did I.
Shiny metal box.
And then with some recent news, I ordered the pre-order for the Microsoft Store one too. But we'll get into that for the next episode. We got a lot to talk about for this episode already that we're just going to probably be doing two episodes per week for the next month or so. So buckle your seatbelts, guys, because it's going to be a crazy ride for the next month. But heading over to the bulletin from last week, you guys have made notice a change already from the time that we're recording this, that Halo Waypoint has actually already undergone something that was mentioned, and that is the new Waypoint interface that has been brought to Halo Waypoint, and it's going to be a similar feel for the Halo Channel app whenever it hits Windows 8 and Xbox One on launch, and possibly Windows Phone and other devices later. After release, but it's a lot more fleshed out than it was before. Really white, really plain compared to the other kind of site theme that they were using before. So if you haven't had a chance yet, head on over to HaloWaypoint.com. Check out the new and improved Waypoint. I guess it's kind of Waypoint 3.0, isn't it? In terms of the site.
Yeah.
The best word, single word I can use for the site is it's very clean.
It is. Lots of simple theme colors. It's just white with gray text with blue links and accents. Everything is pretty much what you would expect from a kind of the newer Microsoft theme stuff. Very clean, very square and modular in that kind of way. It's actually not too bad. I kind of liked the other theme just because it had the star field in the background and the planets, and it had that Halo feel to it. But we've seen a while now with the Halo Channel previews and everything that they are kind of going to this more clean and white interface for Halo. And that's what you can expect here. They've redone some of the different tabs, and they're focusing a lot more on the game now instead of the community side of things. So it's a lot more focused in a different direction at the moment. What do you guys think of the new site design, since we're kind of talking about it already?
I like it. It's really bright, and the other one was a little bit dark. I know some of the community members were really surprised about seeing themselves in some of the headers. Spartans lining up.
Yeah, the 405th guys.
I like the fact that I still have a badge, And they actually updated the badges that you have on your forum, and they put them on your own personal page. And I still have Donut Bringer, and it's all updated and shiny and new.
That's cool. I don't know if I have any badges, to be honest. I'm not one that goes on the forums too much.
I don't either. It's just, it's funny that they actually, all the badges, if you earn those badges, that they updated them and there's new artwork for them. It's not just a simple, you know, bad, you know, it's just not an up-res image. It's a brand new piece of art that someone on the art team worked on.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I haven't gone through everything just yet to see the full site, but what I've seen so far I'm really liking. I like the white better than the dark, in my opinion. I mean, I like the way the star field and plants and that stuff too, but I felt it was a little too dark. But yeah, I like this one a lot better.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page. It's a very, very clean, very easy to navigate. Some of the new stuff is... took a little bit of digging to find, but it's under community now, and some of the other stuff that was a little bit harder to find is brought forward kind of with what they're focusing on with the Halo channel. So nothing surprising there. It's still pretty easy to navigate. Whenever they come out with the stats for the Master Chief Collection, that's going to be kind of the big thing that I hope gets attention and is actually done well instead of using Silverlight like the Halo 4 stats were. Because that thing hardly worked for me. I don't know about you guys, but it was hard to actually get my stats to work.
The crappy computer I was running at the time, it just didn't work, period. So anytime I sit there and tried looking at it, I gave up. I didn't really pay too much attention to it.
It was kind of lackluster.
My problem with the old waypoint was every time I'd play on the 360 after a month, my achievements would reset, and I'd lose that waypoint career thing, that whatever, it was like level 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, whatever, and all my stuff would relock. I hated that. I'm glad they fixed that.
Did that fix with the whole DLC update that they pushed out last week?
I think so. I unlocked like 5, 6, some, I don't know, 150 gamer score popped up, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. Bonnie Ross tweeted last week, I believe on Thursday, I want to say.
Was it Friday or was it Thursday?
I think it was Thursday because it was before I left for Comic-Con. Yeah.
All right.
And I left Friday morning. And she put out a tweet that they fixed issues with downloading DLC, which I guess in turn actually fixed some of the glitched achievements that people had. So if you haven't played Halo 4 in a while, you might want to go check out and launch up the game just to see if you can get some of those achievements that you think you should have gotten, or maybe in Lair's case that relock somehow, and you should get all those unlocked.
Yeah, well, all you got to do is, for me, when I saw the tweet, I just popped the game disc in, and as soon as I went to the menu and pressed start, like, it just popped up and everything unlocked, and, you know, a whole bunch of achievements that I supposedly had gotten before, you know, unlocked.
Which is good. It's nice that they finally got that fixed, despite how long it took to get it fixed, but no matter, everything is still done. I still have one more achievement to get. I was hoping by some random freak chance that it would go and unlock that for me, but alas, I still have one more achievement to get in Halo 4. But that shouldn't take too long. I'll probably get some people on. It's the one to assassinate someone 5 feet from the goal, or 5 meters from the goal, and ricochet with the ball, something like that.
I think I need like 5 more to finish Halo 4 or 6, something like that. The Ricochet ones, whatever the last DLC, yeah. So, The Champions bundle ones.
Right. Just a quick shout-out, since we're speaking about achievements, we're going to have next week, I think for Tactical Tuesday, Godzilla can correct me if I'm wrong in the chat, but I believe we're doing Halo Wars for Tactical Tuesday, and we're going to do achievement hunting for that, and then we're doing ODST the week after, and then I believe the week after that, which is the week before the Master Chief Collection comes out, we're going to do Halo Reach. So if you guys are looking for achievements in any of those games, then we're going to be achievement hunting for Tactical Tuesdays over the next 3 weeks. That's something you might want to pay attention to. Again, that's Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Moving on with the rest of the bulletin, in the IGN coverage, they also mentioned that Halo 1 and Halo 2 are going to get medals, and Waypoint dived a little bit more into that on their bulletin. There's going to be a medal chest in-game, which is where you can go and see every single medal that you've ever collected with the Master Chief Collection. And in the medal chest, you can actually see what medals apply to what games. So in one of the screenshots they have here, they have the Staketacular, and that's available in all 5 games, actually.
That's an old medal. That's like Halo 2.
That's Halo 3.
No, it was Halo 2. Luke Smith owes you a steak.
That was actually a Halo 2 one? I thought that was only introduced in Halo 3.
Yeah, no, the one with the bull horn? Yeah, Luke Smith owes me like a whole bunch of steaks from Halo 2. For people that don't know Bungie history, Luke Smith was the community manager before Irk, and then Irk went higher up, and now Deej is the community manager. So 3 community managers ago is who got that medal put into the game. Or was it 4? Anyways, he was a community manager way back in the early 2000s.
That would have been 4 games ago if you include Reach. 5 games if you include ODST. But ODST was kind of part of 3 anyways, so 4 games. There you go. So those, we're going to have a subset of medals available in Halo CE and Halo 2 Classic, and you can actually toggle those off if you don't want to see the medals at all. And one of the things in the video that they posted, actually today or yesterday as of this recording, and this is going to be something that we'll cover in the next podcast, talking about week 2 of the IGN first coverage, is the medals are still the Halo 4 medals. And I'm not a huge fan of the Halo 4 style medals. I think they don't pop as well as the Halo 2 or Halo 3 medals, and I was kind of hoping that we would see more of the Halo 2 style medals or Halo 3 style medals make it into Halo CE and Halo 2. What do you guys think about their decision to kind of reuse the Halo 4 medals everywhere for the Master Chief Collection?
Is there an option? I heard, or I was reading somewhere, there's an option to turn them off. Personally, if I had an option to turn them off in Halo 1 and 2, I would. I'd leave them in 3 and 4. In Halo 2, 3, and 4, I'd leave them on because they were in the game, even though they're a different style. Halo 1, I'd turn them off because I'd want Halo 1 to be that experience that I had a long time ago. So, as close to that as possible.
I just think for Halo, I would have liked the Halo 2 to have the original medals, because maybe I'm just like the nostalgic part of having that experience and having those medals there.
No, I'm definitely with you on this. I mean, there's some achievement, there are some medals that when they pop, like Snapshot or some of the Flood medals, I do enjoy they bring out like Road Trip or whatever, like when that medal pops up, that was really cool. But I think they should have left the way, like Halo 2, 3, like they should have left those medals the way they were. I enjoyed them a little bit more. I like the way, like you said before, how they pop up. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to really feel about it. I mean, it's all right, I guess, but I would have enjoyed the old medals better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like that old style, you know, right there.
It was a lot simpler, in my opinion, and to be honest, it kind of would go well with the theme that they have for the new Halo Waypoint. I don't think the new flashy medals really fit as well with the new style, but that's just me. Because for Halo 3, they were very simplistic, they were very clean, and they popped. Like, whenever you would play Halo 3, or I play Halo 3, I see the medals when they come up, but in Halo 4, it's just like this blur in the corner that doesn't stick out.
Yeah, I mean, one game that I really enjoyed too was Reach. I like Reach's medals. Like, I like how they look like rusted looking. Like, I don't know if anybody really paid attention to that, but like they had like that old look to them. Like, they look like the Halo 3 medals. It's just they had like a worn feeling to them.
Better color palette.
Yeah,
I remember the Halo 3 load screen for the beta. It had a different design in it. I really liked those, and they took them out when Halo 3 made it all the way out. But it had a really nice graphic to it, and I was like, I like those.
And I think the medals in the game are needed because, quite frankly, people want those little shiny pop-up things. Now, whether the set that people want from the other games should have been in there versus a unified, you know, the more modern ones, I mean, look at it this way. In Halo PC, that HUD is no longer the HUD that you had in Halo 1. It's the updated, updated one. The reason they couldn't do the HUD, I mean, in the higher graphics was, you were, what was his name? You had him a couple of weeks ago, Leapmaster for, Project, SV3.
Oh, Master's Leap?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Master's Leap, for SV3. He even told us when we were at PAX that the original Halo 1 HUD couldn't be up-resed in that mod, right? So, that there's just certain assets that might not have been able to have been up-resed, and that's the reason they couldn't have the originals.
Right. Something just with how the text pops up. Everything else they can up-res except for the text in the UI for some reason. Really bizarre that that's the only thing that they can't replace.
So, yeah. You know, maybe that's the reason why they, I mean, obviously they probably want to have the unified medals across all the games, but that might just be a reason why they couldn't have, you know, the Halo 2, Halo 3 medals or whatever, because the assets at the time were just not up-resable. You know, maybe they were only done at 630 by, or, you know, 640 by 480 pixels and or smaller, and up-resing them would just make them look like pixelated garbage.
But you can still go in and redesign, and I would hope that some of those medals are done in like Illustrator or SVG format, where they can basically just resize them to be bigger and it doesn't affect the quality.
Fair enough. I'm just saying that that could be a reason. And of course, you know, 343 probably wants to have just that unified metal structure across all the games.
No, I agree with that, but I think that the Halo 3 medal system would have been a better option, because that just... And I know they've added a lot of medals for Halo 4, so a lot of those things, I guess they wouldn't want to go and recreate in the Halo 3 style. So, in a way, it makes sense. It's just, I personally feel the style of the Halo 3 medals are the best medals that we've seen in Halo so far.
Yeah, I agree.
End rant.
I'm sure the ones, but that's just me.
Reach is okay. It's a little more rustic, and it's, I think it still falls within the same kind of themes that was in Halo 2 and Halo 3, and they still kind of popped and had that rustic feel, but when it got to Halo 4, they didn't stick out at all, and they weren't really noticeable, and there were so many medals that you were getting anyways. It didn't feel like the medals were really worth something in Halo 4.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I mean, the medals in Halo 3 are a little bit more rewarding. Like, when you get them, like, you can actually see them and stuff. Like, I mean, when I get a snapshot or whatever on Halo 4, I mean, I can hear it. I mean, that's about the only thing I can see. I can see the medal pop up, but it's not what I'm looking forward to, you know?
You want a bigger piece of candy.
Oh, absolutely.
So, my question is... you know, if you play the game and you get a medal in the game, you earn it, right? You think people would want to order an actual medal? What if they, like, you could log into your profile and go, like, hey, I earned that medal, and they could ship me one for $5.
Maybe if you got a certain amount of them.
In case anybody's not catching the subtlety, Kevin's trying to market, you know, Halo to people to collect. Just FYI.
Yeah. Yeah, I caught that. Yep. That's a cool idea, though. If you get X amount of medals for this one medal, it'd be cool to have a collector's thing that you could actually buy for that, or you can earn this. Like, you're eligible to buy this thing for X amount of dollars.
Like, yeah, if you get 500 snapshots, you can order the snapshot medal, any other plastic or metal or something like that for, like Kevin said, very small nominal fee, you know, nothing expensive, but it would have to be really cheap, you know, to
limit
make it
one per gamer tag.
Yes, with your gamer tag, of course.
Yeah, make it limit one per gamer tag, pretty much, I would think that you would do too.
You could wear it to conventions or you know, tournaments, and, you know, maybe if you did have something special, people would notice. And, you know, it's like Pokemon, right? You got to collect them all.
It's like Pokemon badges. Oh, that'd be so cool.
That'd be pretty neat to see.
Halo badges, there you go.
Yeah. Haas also said do something for your 1 to 50 rank.
Ooh. There you go. If you hit rank 50, you get a 50 rank pin or something like that. Yeah. Kind of like what they did. I mean, if you didn't want to do medals, I mean, you know, you could do like the pins like they had at Comic-Con a couple years ago, like the helmets. So, you know, if you hit a certain level, they mail you one of those, you know, of course you have to opt in or whatever, but, you know, something like that. You hit rank 50, hey, here have a rank 50 pin. only people with rank 50 get that pin.
Well, the thing is Xbox Live is now based on dollars, is it not?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, literally, you could press of the button on your account while you're even playing, you know, somewhere, you know, boom, there, yep, it's dropped in the mail for you.
I don't know if they're allowed to do that through Xbox, though. I think you're only allowed to make purchases from the marketplace, and that's not physical goods.
That's not true. There was a couple of years ago, they used to offer as long as it was owned by Microsoft, you could have a 3D print. You could press a button, enter your gamer tag, and whatever your avatar looked like, as long as the whatever you were wearing was owned by Microsoft, so like Halo helmets, you know, Halo attire or whatever, you could do a 3D print of your avatar.
From your Xbox.
Well, it was from your web browser or whatever.
Different. If you do it from the web browser, yeah, that's fine. But I don't think you'd be able to do that from Xbox.
But you can do it from your Xbox because there's a web browser built in. But anyways, yes.
Like through the marketplace. Yes, you could go to the web browser and do it. But like through the marketplace, I don't think you'd be able to do that.
In theory, you could do it. Anyways, that's off topic. I'll be quiet.
You know who started that business, a 3D business? That was Ed Fries. Or Fries, sorry.
Yes. We're going way off topic with metals. Yeah. We should probably get back to whatever the show's going on near Comic-Con.
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
I wanted to throw in real quick before we get off the metal topic is, do you think we'll see the same metals from this to the Halo 5 Guardians beta? Or Halo 5 Guardians in general? Or do you think we'll see new ones?
Beta, I personally possibly. Think
whatever the reaction to metals is in the Halo Master Chief Collection, they're going to watch. 343 is basically going to watch how people react to metals. And if the metals are not received well, I would bet $10 this time next year that either medals are stripped out or medals are completely skill-based, like Halo 3, like a lot of people are asking for. They'll either dial it way back or different medals, or it's all skill-based medals.
So I can see for doing the beta that they would probably reuse the same medals in Halo 4, but I would hope to see in Halo 5 a complete new medal set. And I don't want as many medals that was in Halo 4. I don't want it to be all social. Hey, you get a medal for every single frickin' thing you do.
throw the ball to your friend. What was that one? Hail Mary? That was the medal you got, yeah. Or something like that?
Long bomb,
yeah. It's like, something like, hey, that. You shot someone 20 times but didn't kill him. Here, have a medal and 5 points.
It just, that point system didn't make sense. It's going to be nice to go back to the 1 to 50 in Halo 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I know a lot of people that didn't like the scoring on that at all.
Anyways, getting back on topic.
Hold on, since we're talking Reach, I just wanted to point one thing out. I love Bungie, but you know what? They love Armor Lock. They say they don't, but it was in Reach, and you know what other game it's also in? Their latest game. Lots of their enemies do Armor Lock now. Just saying. Well, hey, if you play Destiny like most people have, you know the Vex sniper guys, you shoot them twice and they go into an armor lock for like 5 seconds. You can't do anything to them. Just say it. Armor lock's here to stay in Bungie games. Sorry, next talk.
Yeah, moving on. If you guys didn't catch from when we were doing the IGN First episode last week, all the campaigns are doing campaign scoring in part times, just like it was in Reach and ODST. So they also mentioned in here in the bulletin that there's going to be campaign medals that kind of reflect some of the enemy kills that you, some of the enemy medal kills that you got in Reach and in Halo 3 ODST. So we can expect to see those medals, I think, from reading this, across all campaigns. Does that seem right with how that reads, that second paragraph in the medal chest section?
Yeah, it seems like another unified medal thing, because according to certain achievements, you have to beat certain levels on Legendary to unlock a Legendary achievement. Like, you have to beat, say, Halo 1's level on Legendary, and then Halo 2's level, or something like that. It's like, before you get this achievement, you gotta unlock all of a certain achievement, and, sorry, where I'm going with this with medals is, yes, so it's likely tied to a very unified across all, you know, like legendary on, you have to beat the first legendary level and then you get a medal maybe for beating all four levels. You know, you get legendary medal number one or something like that.
Uh-huh. So as far as the scoring goes, there's a couple achievements based on it. There's same thing for the part time as well. I don't think it's a detriment, really. I found it to be okay in Halo Reach and Halo 3 ODST. Didn't something that detracted from the game, but I don't know if it really added that much to it. I know it was useful whenever I was getting the challenges for Halo Reach, but did you guys really find any other good benefit from it?
Not really, no.
I guess you could use it to keep, like, if you're playing, say, Halo 1 one day, Halo 2 the next, Halo 3 the next, and Halo 4, and then you jump into Halo 2, 3, and, you know, you don't go in order, and you just want to play different levels. I guess you could use it if as a stat tracker, unless there's something on the website. You're like, okay, so I've done this level on Legendary. I mean, if you don't want to look, like, individually at each game, and you jump around a lot, it could be used as a way to keep track of what you've done in the game, I guess.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know. I've never really been too crazy about the medals. I mean, I get them, I get them. I don't. I play the game.
Right. I think that's how a lot of us are. Anyways, moving on. There's going to be some... we already kind of covered this because it was talked about or shown off at PAX Prime, but the Halo Edition Astro A50s, which is the wireless Astros, they talked a little bit about in the bulletin. They just kind of mentioned it, and they showed some new pictures of it, because the pictures I had from PAX didn't do it justice. They all came out blurry. So if you actually want to see some pictures of them, then definitely head over to the bulletin from last week. They've got some pretty sweet angles of it, and it looks really, really nice. And I will likely be picking up a set at some point whenever I have money. Yeah.
They are the best-looking Halo headsets I've seen so far by any company.
And they have that new chat adapter for the Xbox, so it'll fix the sound glitch that's on the previous Astro models. Well, the previous Astro models won't have the special, you know, they'll be super awesome compared to previous models that had to buy the Xbox proprietary device.
Yeah. So I'll have two sets of Astros after this. I'll have the A40s, which I got right now and I actually used for the first time tonight. And then I'll have this set. So that kind of wraps up. There's one more section that we can talk about before heading into the New York Comic Con stuff. And that is the continuing section of Cannon Fodder, which is Grim Brother One's little canon story stuff. And last week they talked about some of the stuff in the first part of the Halo CE game. And Grim Brother One goes to talk about more of that and fill in the rest of the story. So September 21st, 2552 is when he picks back up. Guilty Spark convinces Master Chief that he needs to stop the Flood and activate Halo. And then kind of go through the rest of the story in the game all the way up to the very last level, the Maw. And then that's the kind of the dawn of September 22nd. And he goes and actually touches on some facts in the book. So if you haven't read any of the first trilogy, either the second book or the third book in the first trilogy, which is The Flood and then First Strike, then there's some information in here that he touches on, which is after they blew up the Pillar of Autumn, they searched for the debris in game, Cortana says all she sees is dust and echoes. Well, they still look around. They're still there, and they actually manage to find Johnson and some of the rest of Blue Team on there. So all is not lost. there's the survivors that he mentions in there is Sergeant Johnson, Lieutenant Haverson, Corporal Locklear, Warrant Officer Pulaski, and then Linda 058.
Which is that little Easter egg in Halo Anniversary. If you go around the other side where you see Master Chief in the cryopod room, if you go around the other side, that's where Linda hangs out.
Yep. Little CEA Anniversary egg for you. I don't think that was one of the achievement ones for the 4,000 gamer score, though. But there's a lot of other ones to get achievements for. Sorry?
Oh, I was just saying, I didn't even notice there was a Linda achievement in there. I guess I'll have to go back and look at the list.
There's quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Bywolf and I read through, I think, what, about 14, 15 different Easter egg achievements?
Yeah. I wonder how many, which game has more achievements? The Master Chief Collection or the Orange Box? Because I played the Orange Box. I gave up after getting something like 500 achievements on it or something like that. There was just so many, I just didn't care anymore.
Wait, you're talking about Orange Box on Steam or Orange Box on Xbox?
Orange Box on 360.
There weren't that many achievements on...
I don't know, 500, 200, I don't know. I got a whole bunch. I just know I gave up because there was so many. There was ones that were like 1 point, 2 points. I'm just wondering which had more achievements, you know, number-wise, not gamer score-wise.
I think it's safe to say that...
The Master Chief Collection definitely does, because I know for sure that the Orange Box had less than 200 achievements. And from what Bywolf said last week, this one has 403.
Well, there you go.
That's a ridiculous number.
Yeah, it is.
There's going to be someone like Cough Naked Eli who's going to try and be the first person in the world to get, you know, all 403.
There's a group of us here that plan on trying to be one of the first people to get it.
There you go, then.
I think all the Podtacular staff members are going to be trying to get that achievement.
Absolutely.
The only thing is...
No. First in the world. I don't know if you'll be first in the world.
Well, everyone has 3 months. Everybody has 3 months. Because there's an achievement in there where you have to play the game after 3 months. So the big thing for me is I'm pretty sure I'll be able to get Lazo done across all games in that three-month time period. The only big issue for me is going to be getting that number of win games in.
Yeah,
that's getting some kills. The 20,000 kills or whatever
right.
it is.
Yeah,
right.
that's not too hard.
If you grind Spartan Assault, that's not going to be too bad.
Spartan Assault?
I'm sorry, Spartan Ops. Sorry, other Spartan thing. Ops. My bad.
It's definitely got my downtime locked. Like, anytime I'm done with work or if there's anything else I'm going to do, there. Immediately going straight to the Chief Collection to get some achievements done.
There better be some cool unlockables from that, you know, for the beta or whatever. I'm really holding, you know, them to that when they said there's going to be something cool for actually going to the, you know, actually going on to Waypoint, or not Waypoint, the Halo channel. There's got to be something cool. That's something that they need to keep because they promised us the only thing we ever got from Waypoint was during Reach. Well, I guess technically we got the Halo 4 armor, but Reach, you got the CQB armor or something like that for going on to Waypoint and certain achievements. So they need to like have something really cool like that for the beta. Like if you beat the Halo 4 Master Chief Collection, it unlocks some kind of armor that only if you got everything before the beta, it unlocks that beta special armor for you or something like that.
Don't think they'll do something like that, but I do remember when they were talking about the IGN or during the IGN interview of Kiki talking about the Halo channel, that there are going to be things in the Halo channel that you can unlock that will be unlocks for the Master Chief Collection and the Halo 5 beta, and that possibly some of those unlocks will transition into the final game of Halo 5 Guardians.
I'm just saying, if you get all 4,000 gamer score before the beta, there should be some special unlock that you get for the beta.
You can't. It's impossible.
Why?
Because the beta comes out before the 3 months.
Oh, keep playing it after 3 months achievement, right? Okay,
yeah.
Never mind.
So yeah, it's impossible.
You can time travel. I have the achievements.
Even then, it's impossible.
Sorry, you're right. There's 400 and some odd achievements.
I will say this, though. I'm really happy that they're making achievements to go find those Easter eggs that you found in Halo 2 and Halo 1. Like, I'm really excited for those. I think those ones have a little bit more... I'm looking more forward to getting those than any other ones that I see.
I do like how some of the achievements from Halo 4 kind of made a return. Halo 2 kind of made a return. I don't think many from Halo 3 made a return other than like going and collecting the skulls. And then Halo CE Anniversary was collecting the skulls as well. But it is nice to see that a lot of these achievements are easy to get as long as you put enough time into it, not like the Halo 3 FFA ranked achievement ones, which I'm still
trying to get. I got one of those after I couldn't get the Spartan Laser one, and the, you know, in one game of free-for-all, I got the Mongoose Mowdown, I got the Needler one, I got something else, and after that, I never did Lone Wolf again. I was just like,
wow.
No, bad.
I'm still attempting them.
Oh, I want to get them. I'm determined to get 100%.
On Apple Tuesday in Halo 3, set up a achievement farming lobby and get them that way. Unless you're
no, we're gonna do that.
At this point, it's like, how are you gonna do it? The servers are gonna go offline for Halo 3 soon enough on the 360. You watch next year or so. You're the
I don't know about that.
I don't think so. Halo 2 Vista's still running, dude. And that was supposed to be shut down.
Come on, guys. We all know that they're trying to push us to get the Xbox One and the other platforms they want to shut down.
I don't think
they're
going to
be shutting down the 360 live service. They're still coming out with games for the 360. I mean, the pre-sequel just launched today for Borderlands, and that's going to be a game that's going to be lasting for at least a year with DLC. Ooh. So there's not going to be turning off the 360 live service. And look how long the Xbox Live Service lasted.
And move to your achievements, sometimes it's easier to farm than to go out and earn them. I'm just saying, some people prefer...
No.
At this point, 7 years later, I'd personally farm the last Halo 3 one that I need.
Oh, I'm completely agreeing with you. I just don't think the live servers for Halo 3 are going to be going down that soon. I mean, yeah, I'm going to be farming it. Screw those achievements. To be perfectly honest.
That's where I thought you were disagreeing, and I'm like, we should on a weekend or something and just do a free-for-all lobby to get them, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely the plan. The only problem is trying to find people that are the same rank as you that still need the achievement or are willing to work with you to get that achievement.
Yeah, I'm at like rank 3 or something like that in Lone Wolf, so I can help anybody.
Well, I'm a rank 20.
I always play Big Team Battle with the Deej and the Gunslingers during
that
Halo
seems to
3.
Be just kind of the de facto, if you're going in for a social experience, you go into Big Team. And that's kind of been the trend for all Halo games, I think.
Yeah, we always roll the full 16-player Big Team Battle, so we always played against each other.
Right.
There's some crazy stuff that comes out of Big Team Battle.
I think I have something like 2,000 Wheelman assists or something like that.
Wow.
Holy...
Yeah, that was my big quote-unquote medal slash whatever. I was always a driver for the Gunslingers.
I'm a pretty good driver, so whenever we would do our Reach game nights, if we had full lobbies, I'd be a driver for somebody. Or whenever I would go in with doing the rocket race, I would always try to drive.
So now on to Halo Collector stuff, so Kevin has something to talk about.
Yeah, so that kind of wraps up the bulletin for the rest of the stuff. We'll move on to the New York Comic Con stuff now, which... Unfortunately, there wasn't much in terms of 343 presence there this year. It was a lot of the new figures and toys and some of the publications that were coming out.
343 wasn't there, a little more in force.
Yeah, and I actually talked to Frankie about it, and there's some other the team members that are out finishing their basically press tour in Brazil, and then there's another press tour happening before the launch of the Master Chief Collection. When is TGS, by the way?
Tokyo Games Show was last couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, that was not that, but,
that's why I was telling you, I thought they were going to release the map info on a panel or something at New York Comic Con, because that's basically what they do. I mean, the New York Comic Con's always before, and I didn't think they were just going to announce it on the internet, because all the other previous maps, with the exception of one, they... RTX, San Diego, PAX, you know, I figured something would have popped up at New York Comic Con, like the last time.
Yeah. But as far as what we saw at New York Comic Con, nothing really much of a 343 presence, except that Frankie was there doing a signing at the Mega Bloks and the Dark Horse booth, and managed to get a signed Mega Bloks poster that basically had a lot of the sets from this year on there. And I got him to sign two of the Halo journals that's actually out from Insight Editions, or will be out pretty soon, and got him to sign two of the Kiki signed ones as well. So
Kevin will be contacting you shortly.
Yeah.
PayPal, PayPal. Do you take PayPal? It's a string. Kevin will be contacting you momentarily.
So we're going to be, I guess Kevin's going to be getting one of those. And then I have two more of the Kiki signed journals as well. And we're going to be giving those away here on Podtaggler at some point in the near future. So at some point, we'll have kind of a massive giveaway. Not sure when that's going to be yet, but we'll let you guys know for sure. Talking about collector stuff, Insight Editions is one of the booths that was mentioned in the Halo Bulletin. It's one of the places that I got to stop by and talk to some of the people there and managed to pick up the poster collection and the Halo Journal. So the Halo Journal is basically just kind of a notebook journal that you could pick up anywhere else. It has a really cool UNSC logo on the front, and it has really nice attention to detail, as a lot of the good Halo stuff is nowadays. They're actually, I'm kind of surprised on how good the quality of stuff that they're actually coming out with now for a lot of their...
It's almost like they had some kind of feedback with some of the more hardcore fans.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, was their booth, it sounds like by what you were saying earlier that they were pretty popular there at the show, the Insight Edition booth in this. The book and the poster book they had.
So whenever I got there on Friday, they were actually almost out of the day's stock for the poster collection. I think she's the lady that was managing the booth said that there were only six left. So I picked up one then, and then I went back Saturday. They had another box open for the poster collection, and I bought. Well, actually, didn't buy. I got. They gave me one for free. As press, so I got two of them, one of which is going to Kevin, and then I think you guys are probably going to give away the other one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah, we'll do something.
Now, hey, Kevin, remember we were talking about that Halo 2 anniversary poster I saw somewhere on one of my Twitter streams? It was actually, I'm going to guess, from that Halo poster collection book. That's where it was, because I was looking at the pictures Dusty sent over, and that poster was in his shots.
Yeah, those the images in that poster book are a pretty wide variety of images, and they did a really good job on that. Usually they can kind of get stuck in a rut and just have images we've seen over and over, but there was a very good selection of images in there.
They had the Todd McFarlane Master Chief Arbiter one that he did for the that art print that he came out a couple years ago for McFarlane Toys. What was it? The Halo Points, I think they were called. You remember those, Kev?
Yeah, the Halo Points, yeah.
He did like a print or whatever with Master Chief and Arbiter. There's a big version of that in the Halo collection, and that's the only time I've ever seen it other than, you know, that one little poster, 8x10 print that he gave out, you know. Is in that big collection, so that was kind of cool.
There was some artwork in that book that I didn't even know existed. I saw some of the stuff that I saw from Halo 3, the arts from that, and then there were a lot of book cover arts in there, some other promotional posters, but there are a few things in there that I didn't even know were Halo art prints, or I'd never seen them before.
You mean like the one where Master Chief is kicking the brute out of the ghost?
Yeah, I hadn't seen that one before, or hadn't seen the one where he's crashing down to Earth with that metal plate. Hadn't seen that one either.
Oh, yeah, the two that I had always wondered if they were official in them or not was that one, and the one where he's standing, it's a really weird-looking version of Master Chief, it's from Halo 2, where he's standing in the back of the Pelican, and he's about to jump out.
Uh-huh.
It's got kind of a boxy-looking helmet, and the visor is red.
I noticed several of those images were magazine covers off of OXM and a few other magazines. So if you weren't a magazine buyer, you probably never saw that image before.
Definitely possible.
What was your favorite poster from the collection?
Gosh, I have to look through them again. There was one in here. I'm pulling them up now. For those that are listening on the live stream, I just posted the link in the chat. They're over at halocollector.com. I would say for me, one of the images that I've always liked and that I've had as a background on a couple occasions. Where is it? I thought it was in here. Maybe not. No, I guess not. I guess I was thinking something else. But anyways, from what I saw in here, I really liked the one of the arbiter overlooking the index temple on Delta Halo. And then there was the other one of Chief walking through the forest with Johnson and the Marines in the background from Halo 3, which I actually never seen that one either, ever.
The other one I liked was the only place I saw it was on that trilogy CD we bought, Dusty, the Halo original trilogy or whatever it was. And it's got Master Chief and the Arbiter standing over his shoulder.
Which one? There's a couple of those.
Okay, you know the silver...
Oh, okay, yeah, I know which one you're talking about, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that poster is in that one, the collection, too. I like that one.
Yep, that one's pretty good.
The top two I like is the one that you got in the Halo 3, where you have the Arbiter in the background and Chief holding the assault rifle. It's, like, kind of brownish in the background.
The one with the Arbiter and the sword?
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. And the concept art for Halo 4 where Cortana's on her...
Pedestal.
Mm-hmm. Now, those are probably my two favorites. The Cortana on the pedestal one I actually have as a background for my Xbox that I kept on there.
Oh, cool.
I have to say the two favorite ones I like are the one where Master Chief is in the back of the Warthog and he's looking over the soldiers as they're rushing towards a Forerunner structure.
He's ripping away on the chain gun.
Yeah, he's ripping away. And the one that's he's walking into a Forerunner corridor with the light on his weapon, and there's Flood eggs all over with a nice horrific, like, moody fog everywhere.
Yeah, image 34 and 33. Yeah. So this collection is actually 40 posters, but the only caveat to this is they're front and back. So if you're actually planning to frame all these, which they're 16 by 12, for those that are interested, if you're planning to frame all these, then you'll need to buy two. And right now, if you go to Amazon, you can pre-order these. And at the convention, the stuff was, I forget how much they said it was off. I think it was 30% off, 25% off, something like that. And I remember the poster collection was $17, so I think it was 33%. But you can actually pre-order it on Amazon right now for $18.62. So if you want to go and get it, make sure you go to our website, puttogether.com, use the referral link. We get a little bit of that back to us, and go ahead and pre-order the poster collection. And there's some posters in here, which I don't think you can really order any bigger size prints than what you're going to get in here. Because a lot of this is... either been used for book. I mean, some of them you can. Some of them have been promotional posters that you can go buy, but I know some of these are book covers or other magazine promotional things where if you want an actual poster size, this is the biggest you're going to get so far. So it's something to go out and have, I think.
Like the multiplayer number image, I forget what this one is, where you have the red Spartan and the blue Spartan with the sword and the shotgun and the Spartan laser. The only time I've ever seen that is a really rare big poster, and it was released as a lithograph or something like that through the Bungie store. And you know, there was only 500, Kevin can probably correct me, 500 or something like that of them made, and they had the little emblem on them and it was signed by the artist.
Yeah, and there was a really small print of them made too, actual physical small print too. So there was the really large ones and then the really small ones, but these look,
yeah, they were only like 5x7 or something like that. Or
yes,
and it had like a little special border. I remember I had that one.
That was one of those images that I had as a wallpaper, as well as the Chief looking out the back of the Pelican.
That's the one I was talking about. The helmet's all square and boxy, and the visor's red. The one in here that I'd never seen before was actually the poster of the I can't remember the name of the ship, but. Regret was escaping from Earth, and it had the
yeah,
tower.
I saw that one too, yeah.
I'd never seen that one before.
I hadn't either. The one where it's about to enter in the slip space over...
Yeah, exactly.
New Mombasa. I hadn't seen that one either. I think there's, let me see if I count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's a good number of them in here that I've never seen before. I want to say about 10 to 12 of the posters that I've never seen before.
So which one's he gonna frame?
Huh?
Which one's he gonna frame?
I don't know. I'm debating on buying two of them or not.
I need to get this. I'm a huge poster freak when it comes to, like, just all these different types of things. I'm going to have to get one, maybe two.
The other thing on top of that, though, is buying the frames for it, too, because they're 16 by 12. I don't know if they're that easy to get, at least at Michael's or Walmart for that size, but just paying for the poster book itself is one thing, but then if you want to actually frame it, that's a completely other story.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have a couple 16 by 12.
Yeah,
yeah, I got a couple of those. I see them at Walmart every now and then, so I don't think they're too hard to get. I mean, that's just my Walmart. I can't say for everybody else's.
So, that is kind of for the Insight Edition stuff. The journal is really cool. I'm actually going to use I bought one that wasn't signed, and I'm actually going to use that one as kind of like my signature book from now on. So whenever I go to conventions, I'll just like designate pages for certain conventions and I'll get signatures that way. Or I might just have it whenever I meet someone new, I'll just have a signature added to that. So and then we'll have some of the other Kiki Wolfkill signed ones to give away as well. Moving on, let's see. Next thing I want to cover would be let's just do the Simon and Suture. How do you say that? Schuster. Schuster, thank you.
Schuster.
Simon and Schuster. So I guess 343 is no longer going with Tor for their books. So Simon and Schuster is the new publisher for the books, and they are publishing the new book, Broken Circle, which they actually had one of the first production copies there. They literally had that copy done like 2 or 3 days before the convention started when I was talking to him. And one of the guys that was there was really passionate about it. He was super psyched about the book and everything. And he kind of gave a short spiel on what the book was. And for those that kind of want a premise, it's going to be talking about kind of the initial start of the Covenant when the Shenshayum and the Sangheili were kind of fighting over the Forerunner artifacts. Or the precursor artifacts, sorry, and kind of how the what's the truce called between them? I forget what it's called. Layered.
What was the question again?
The truce between the Shenshayum and the Sangheili.
They long time ago in Halo history. Put away, way back
it's called something. It's called something though. And anyways.
Man, what is the truth? It's fudge. This is where we meet Grimm.
I know, right?
the writ of union. The writ of union.
That's it. Yes.
I believe it's the writ of union.
Yes, that's it. So it's actually a build up to that for one part of the book, and you said that's about 60%, and then I won't spoil the rest, but there's 40% that's kind of a bigger plot point that kind of ties into some of the stuff that we'll see in the Halo 2 terminals and the beginning and end edition cutscenes to Halo 2. So that's going to be really cool to see how that integrates in with that.
The Halo nerd canon fact. Uh-huh. If you remember Halo 2, when the Arbiter goes to see the prophets after they found the new Halo ring, if you look in the background and you see like these little tapestry, there's like 9 of them on the background, and the prophets are talking about the Grunt Rebellion and this and that. That's actually a physical representation of the Writ of Union. Nerd stuff.
Oh, I'll have to go and try to find it then. I never knew
that. It's in the cutscene, like in that room where they're like, some have said that day will never come. What do they have to say now? That little cutscene, it's in the background. Pretty sure. You'd have to look it up. But yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting. I'm excited for the book. They're going to send me a press copy, and I'm hoping to get the Halo Collector guys a press copy as well, because they got me to New York Comic Con and they kind of deserve one. But I don't know if I'm going to get that early, if I'm going to just get that as part of release, but whenever I get it, I'm going to try to read it before the Master Chief Collection comes out. So I have that knowledge down there and kind of give a review for it as well.
A lot of the products that were shown off at New York Comic Con have a release date of around the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, 1 or 2 months.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there was some stuff that wasn't shown that we were expecting to be shown that still has a ways to go, but a lot of the stuff is like the Simon & Schuster and the Kotoba Kaiju and the...
Let's call it Kodo for short.
Yeah, the Kodo and a few other things are out really soon.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Kodos are supposed to release to pre-order people in November, but it won't be in physical retail stores like your local comic shop or whatever till like January of 2015. That's the right. Halo 4 Kodo $140 statue or whatever it is, $30.
Mm-hmm.
The one you took pictures of with the BR and you know, that one.
Yeah, that one. Which one is that one again? That's the Koto Bukia?
Yeah, well, that's why I just call it Koto for short, but yes.
Yeah. The Koto Bukia.
Is that the same one?
That's the one that you can actually get if you got the, was it the Legendary Edition of Halo 4 from the UK?
It was the Mjolnir Edition or whatever over in the UK.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Nah, pass. I'd rather save money on the and buy it locally instead of spending however gosh knows how much it's going to cost to get one of those shipped over to the US / Canada, right? I mean, you're looking at...
So the international shipping wasn't that bad, to be honest. It was only...
Can you imagine what it would cost for an 18-inch tall statue, or 12-inch, 6-pound statue?
I don't know if the shipping actually would have changed for that site, to be honest. I think it was a flat rate shipping for anything that was international.
Fair enough.
If I remember right. But I determined, whenever I did the math, it seemed like if you got the Mjolnir edition, it cost, like the change in price from buying the limited edition to the Mjolnir edition was basically the same as buying the statue on its own. So it was almost not really justifiable to get the Mjolnir edition. So,
yeah, which is why I'm not pre-ordering it. I'm going to order it in January once the price drops a bit.
Yeah, same for me. Trying to pull up that image now. I forget which scene I have it loaded here in XSplit, but the Kodo Bukia one is the one where Chief is walking down the little foreigner ramp, for those who don't know.
And he's got different arms and stuff.
Right. So, this is...
Sorry, by different arms, I mean interchangeable arms, where you can put one where Master Chief is holding the BR, like, cruising down, or he's going to come all nonchalantly down with the BR behind his head. And he has a grenade, and is it a grenade in the other hand? I think it's a grenade.
I don't think it was anything. I think it was just the AR. I don't think it was anything else.
I think the stream just died, by the way, guys.
No, it's still there. It's just black screen, because I'm trying to
okay, there you go.
Pull
okay,
up this image.
I was like, hey, wait a minute, the stream died.
Yeah, the images aren't loading that well, because they're freaking huge.
They're loading. They're just not on time with us.
No, well... I'm not seeing them load in XSplit, so if they're there,
You had one. It was a picture of the spur kits or whatever, the model ones that you build.
I saw that, but I'm trying to get... Anyways, keep talking. I'll get this loaded up here in a second.
So, Kevin, talk about Kodo.
The first Kodo is that the Halo 4 Master Chief, but... as you can see in the sign, they're actually denoting that it's a start of a series. So we're going to see other products by them.
This isn't the first time Microsoft and Kodo has worked together. There used to be the Halo 3 ones, right, Kev? They did Halo 3 ones? Yeah, like you had Master Chief in a bubble shield running up a cliff with a sword or magnums and other ones. I can't remember them. That's the picture. There you go. That's the one.
Yeah, it just took a while for it to come up. Freaking XSplit can't handle having 11 meg pictures loaded in so many separate frames.
Did they actually have those available there at the show? I see there's a buy today. Or were they just taking pre-orders?
No, nothing was available for purchase except the Insight Edition stuff. They were the only thing that you could actually buy something from, which kind of, I was a little surprised at that. I was thinking that with some of the other figures that they had there that you could possibly buy them there, but everything else that was there, it was just the figures or just the whatever they had there. Because the book you couldn't pre-order there. Any of the figures you couldn't pre-order there. Mega Bloks, of course, was just a display of stuff. And that's pretty much it. I mean, the Triforce thing didn't even have its display up. I forget what they were supposed to have there. Do you remember, Kevin, what they were supposed to have?
So far, it's unannounced. It's just the partnership with 343. They haven't announced any exact details on what it will be or what the line will be. We know it's going to be at least replicas and statues, but in what order they're going to come out and what they are exactly, we do not know anything. This New York was, I was told, was supposed to be the big reveal, and I guess they were not quite ready.
I guess. That's oh well.
They sure are making a lot of people's mouths water with a, you know, having a display like that. There's a lot of high end collectors that, you know, their average range of products are, you know, several hundred dollars on up. And so there's lots of high end collectors that are just like, take our money already, you know.
Right.
Right.
Well, I saw some of the, let's see, there was the two replica Borderlands guns there, the Bad Touch and another one, and those looked really cool. And then they
and
had
I believe that company has done the Gears of Wars, several pieces from them.
Yep, those were there as well, and there was also the Goliath from Evolve, that was there as well.
That was a statue, correct?
Uh-huh. It was about a 14, 15-inch statue.
That thing's huge.
Yeah.
It's a big statue.
It's pretty nice.
So I'm wondering if, you know, the stuff like a lot of people wanted the Sideshow Cortana, if one of the early things out of Triforce might be a Cortana statue.
That'd be interesting. I don't think we've ever had a figure. Well, so we've had the Noble team from Reach come up in a couple of figures. We've had Master Chief, obviously. Has the Arbiter ever been a big figure thing for the high-end stuff outside of the like the Todd McFarlane toys?
Weta did a back-to-back Chief and Arbiter statue.
Define big.
They were approximately, I think, about 12 inches tall, which they're pretty big.
The only thing that I know of is McFarlane did the legendary line, which was a Arbiter statue. Didn't they do a bust of the Arbiter for Halo 3? Not McFarlane, but another company. Kev, who does the bust? It's the one that you got at the garage sale, that company a couple years ago. It has a silver, the silver variation for Comic-Con 2009 or something like that. There was a silver Chief.
Gentle Giant did
an Arbiter. And didn't Weta do a Chief and Master Chief and Arbiter back-to-back?
Yeah, I just mentioned that. Did you miss that?
I
dropped off for a second.
Busy at that time. That's the reason I got caught up right here.
Yeah, the Arbiter, the largest thing that's been produced is the Weta statue with him and Master Chief back to back, and that's one of the more desirable pieces, along with Cortana, which they both can fetch upwards of $1,000 right now. So,
man,
but the one to one Arbiter, wasn't that the Halo Wars Arbiter, or was it the actual Arbiter or Thalvadam or whatever his name is?
The one to one busts are they never came out with the Arbiter. The only three that were ever made were all versions of Master Chief, and that company failed before getting out the Halo Wars Edition Arbiter, Brute, ODST and another Spartan. So hopefully we do see some new Arbiter stuff too, since we know he's in Halo 5.
Well, we know he's in the or whatever. We don't know he's in Halo 5 for sure. We know he's in the lead up thing that the intro and what Bonnie Ross called the bookends cinematic that leads up to Halo 5. We don't know if he's in Halo 5.
I think it's safe to say he'll have some kind of influence in it, though, just because of how prominent he has been.
Yeah, we just have no confirmation yet.
Right.
I mean, we're all hoping he's there.
Right. Is that enough on the Kodo stuff that you guys want to talk about? Can we move on to the next one?
Sure.
PlayArt's Kai?
Sure. So let's talk about those. Let me get those up from pictures.
I know we're Halo. We'll get to that in a second, but I'm surprised you didn't rant and rave about the PlayArt's Kai, because you love Titanfall. I'm surprised you didn't say anything with PlayArt's Kai Titanfall Atlas.
Oh, I actually took pictures of that when I finally saw it. That was pretty cool. I have the collector's edition for Titanfall, so I have that statue. The other one looked pretty nice, although it's not as big as... I don't think it's quite as big as the statue that I have from the collector's edition.
No. I was just curious, because I didn't buy the collector's edition. That was what I was going to buy once it was released, so
instead,
that's what I was wondering what my thoughts were.
Yeah. Let's see, where is this image?
The Titanfall collector statue is pretty cool. I have it. I love the fact that it can light up with the red and blue and the... I guess it's supposed to be an explosion, that little blinky light. I don't know what that is.
On the collector's edition? What do you mean the blinky light? Oh, that's just supposed to be a generator. That's just a generator.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. It's nothing too significant. Which one were the PlayArt's Kai one again? Was that the...
The Halo 2 Anniversary Chief that was in the glass case with the metal stand.
Oh, the Square Enix one. Yeah. Okay.
With the energy sword and the SMGs.
Yeah, let me... Okay, which scene did I put that in? I'm trying to pull
that
up on the stream.
That's where the big boy toys... That's where big boys action figures start, the price range.
Yeah, that one looked really, really cool. I don't know if I'll be buying it anytime soon, but there are a lot of people wanting to get pictures for that one.
Are you sure you don't want to get the PlayArt's Kai one? That's like that's where you start buying action figures.
Is that when I become a man?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's my most desirable Halo collectible that's coming out. Then the Kodo Halo 4 statue.
The thing is, I gotta really spend my money wisely over the next few months, because I'm running a little low.
I understand. That's the reason I've made my selection of what I'm buying. I'm buying the Master Chief Collection Limited Edition, that, and the statue. That's what I've limited my Halo buying to, unless something super crazy comes out in the next few months.
Right. Unless I win the lottery, too.
That'd be nice.
Well, that too. then I'd just buy Kevin out. I wouldn't even need to have a Halo collection. I'd just buy his little vault, send him on his way. I'd instantly become the Halo collector.
Dun-dun-dun.
We're trying to bug 343 to get more episodes of Apartment 117, seeing as they based the first two episodes on Kevin. We don't have no official confirmation, but, you know, we just joke like that.
Got it. So that one, you can actually, I think you can buy that one now, right?
When we spoke to one of the representatives at Comic-Con, they wanted to have it out at time of the release, but much like other, I'm just trying to word this properly, much like a lot of products that are related to Halo, and the vendors that they choose to work with, sometimes there's kinks, snags. So
right.
I would probably guess that you're looking at a March 2015 release.
Okay.
In the toy industry, there's a lot of jockeying around with schedules and production times and stuff. And unfortunately, it's really hard to get products out. Sometimes scheduled with other items. There's large manufacturing plants that's a select few that just actually produce a lot of this stuff, and they could be producing one company's product one day and the next day turn around and produce the competitor's product. And so there's a lot of shove and take and pushing around and sometimes not everything works out to what everybody wanted.
Just call them kinks and snags.
Okay.
It's a safe word.
Got it. So yeah, that was one of the cooler ones, and just how it looked was it kind of stuck out compared to a lot of the other figures.
Well, for people that don't know what this line is, Square Enix is a company, well, they're a video game company primarily in Japan, and somehow they got the license to work on, when they started doing their toy line, I don't even know how they started doing it, but they make Metal Gear Solid, they do Halo, Titanfall, they do Batman, they do Iron Man, like, they have, like, all the licenses everywhere, and the figures are, I think now they're $90. They retail. They originally used to be, when they did the Reach ones, they were like $45 or $50. But they're really highly articulated. They're really highly detailed, as you can see. They got lots of accessories and all that kind of stuff. They can basically do just about any pose that a human can do. I mean, there's certain ones they just can't do for that price range. But,
right.
Since the Reach ones, they've gotten a lot better proportion-wise, because the Reach ones, not to be stereotypical of women, but generally men and women, men have skinnier waists and legs to match. Men have proportionate waists to their legs. Women usually have skinnier waists and larger thighs. That's one thing that, in my opinion, the Reach Halo figures suffered from. But then they changed it to Halo 4, and they changed the proportions in Halo 4 to make them look proper, and now with the Halo 2 ones, it's like spot on as far as I can see.
Well, Square Enix is, like Laird said, a Japanese-based company, and they're very stylish. They've always had their own...
The Halo CE chief?
They have their own anime-type style that... It's an interpretation of the character. So as the line's gone down from Reach to Halo 4 to the current ones, they've been slowly moving towards a more, I would say, a little bit more American-style action figure, where the proportions are a little bit away from what their usual origins are with
comfort,
their...
Comfort zone.
Yeah, their comfort zone.
Like... All the other ones that are in the lines were what 343 would consider licensed, but the Master Chief that they released for the Halo anniversary, they literally had to put on the box because it was so stylized. Square Enix interpretation of Master Chief in Halo. That's how stylized it was.
Wow.
They couldn't even put on the box that it was Master... Like, the... You know, it was, I don't want to dig for the box, but yeah, it says on the front of the box, it says stylized interpretation or something like that of Master Chief from Halo Combat Evolved.
That's weird.
Well, no, the companies are experimenting, seeing how people react.
I guess, but okay. I don't know too much about how they sign all the licensing agreements
way. You collect Halo Mega Bloks, right?
Yeah.
That's Mega Bloks' stylized version of the characters, right? Because they're not making...
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
...game replicas of, printed straight from the model. I mean, they're doing what they can, but, I mean, they're still kind of... The arms aren't, proportionate. They're all, the arms are the same size, the legs are the same size, right? That's their style. So that was at the time before they started making the changes that they are to what you're seeing now. That was their stylized version of Master Chief.
Yeah, that makes sense now that you mentioned it like that. Yep. Let's see. So that covers the Player's Kai stuff. How about the NECA stuff?
You mean the helmet that's like far too big that you can wear a helmet inside the helmet?
Yeah, so this is one that we actually saw in one of the bulletins a little while ago being worn by Frankie, and this is the motorcycle helmet. This is just the prototype that they had on display. They didn't actually have a finished one in terms of what they're going to do for color. But as far as the shape of the helmet and everything, this is, I believe, the final prototype for it. It's not painted yet, and it's supposed to be coming out spring of next year.
You know, Kevin's going to have like 12 of those.
Does he ride a motorcycle?
No, he's just gonna wear it, you know, in his car because he's got the Halo car, right? He gets out and he'll put like an MP3 player or an iPod in the back and it'll play the Halo theme every time he opens the door of the car.
What I'm happy about on the helmet is that there's governmental rating, which I believe is the Department of Transportation, that they have certain requirements, and then there's a higher standard set by this private group that a lot of the motorcyclists look for, and I forget that company's name, but this third party isn't always it's not required to be met to be able to sell a motorcycle helmet, and but by what I've been told is that this helmet actually achieves that rating, so it should be popular with a lot of the motorcycle.
Yeah, it's like DDT or something like that approval. I'm pretty sure I saw it when you posted it or in the bulletin or whatever.
Anyways, this would probably be an interesting thing for cosplayers to go grab, though. I don't know if they would be incorporating it into some of the stuff, but it's basically an official Master Chief helmet if anyone really wants to kind of build off of it.
They're probably the only one that's going to be able to wear this thing as a two-scale Master Chief helmet. I'm just saying. Like, if I was to put it on, it would be too big for me, but you, it'd just probably be perfect.
Well, it's not that big, is it?
Either Frankie's a really tiny human being, which he is, sort of. You know, he's not the largest human being on the planet, but does anyone have a shot of Frankie wearing that thing and how huge it is on him?
So you have to remember, though, that I don't think any of the padding was in that yet, so of course it's going to look big on him.
That's true.
Because you have all that stuff on the inside from terms of, like, having the, like, if you have, I don't know if this is going to include, like, the built-in radio or have a Bluetooth capability in there, but there's still a lot of padding that still goes into that helmet.
And the neck padding and all that.
Yep.
There's also perspective and certain shots of certain things. It can make it seem larger than it is. And, I mean, excuse me. Obviously, they've gone in and measured the size, and it's comparable to what's in the game.
That's what I was saying. Dusty could wear this thing, and it wouldn't be a, you know, if he wanted to cosplay as Chief, he could just go to the store and buy one of these, and, you know, wear it instead of, you know, putting it on like this little tiny, like, if you were to put that on Mini Chief, I mean, you know, Mini Chief would fall over. That's what I'm trying to say. You put that, he'd be dragging around on the, you know, on the floor. The helmet would just, because this is a big helmet. Like, it's
an adult motorcycle helmet.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you look at the Halo Reach Legendary helmet, or Halo Reach Halo 3, and compare that to a motorcycle helmet, I mean, you gotta at least put 1.25 times the size of that helmet to the Halo 3 helmet. You need to at least 1.5, 1.25 times make it bigger.
Right.
And we do know that it's going to be priced at under $400 or less. So
and watch the chat room explode. $400?
That puts it at medium to low end for a high-end motorcycle helmet. So
yeah, most of those are like $20, $2,100, $1,200.
Yeah, they get pretty pricey.
But the motorcycle helmet was one of two things. So the second thing, of course, was one of the Master Chief statues. 18-inch action figure. Let me pull up the image.
Yep. That's a full-on action figure there. It's got an articulation.
Yeah, that one was probably the one I was most excited about. It was the first one, but I really liked the detail that was put into this one. I really do.
And it's only supposed to be roughly $100, I believe, for the 18-inch Master Chief from NECA. I think that's the price point, $99 or
so,
$90 or something.
Looking at ToyWiz, it's listed right now on pre-order for $89.99.
There you go.
So not bad. And I got some pretty close-up shots. I don't know if you've posted on the Halo Collector yet all the actual DSLR pictures. I think Kevin's going
to, but yeah, you got some really good detail on them. Like, I was looking at the pattern on the black, you know, the spider web, the honeycomb pattern on the black, you know,
yeah.
all the suit, the undersuit.
Yeah, that and it's the visor.
Really, that's all sculpted on, not painted.
That was one of the reasons why I really, really liked this figure out of the rest of them, just because of having that honeycomb on pattern on there, and then the detail that went into the rest of the armor. I fell in love with this thing, and it was actually one of the first things that I saw at the convention.
It sounds pretty cool.
That's one of the things that might have gotten suggested at one of those meetings last year, possibly. This company. I love NECA. They're outside of the few Halo companies that make Halo. NECA is the company that I usually buy for the rest of my action figure stuff, like Predator and Alien and all those other movie properties.
I was surprised it wasn't almost being sold there, because some of the websites, like ToysRUs.com, has it slated as shipping on October 21st. So it's fairly soon, and I thought, well, maybe with that date, then it might be at the New York Comic Con. It was a shame it wasn't.
Well, that you said I think I remember talking before going out to New York Comic Con that you said that the Triforce stuff was supposed to be there, and that wasn't there either.
Yeah, but at least Triforce, is not slated to come out till sometime next year. With the shipping date on the NECA being so close, I thought that might have been one of the products that actually did show.
Let's see. So that was the NECA stuff. Of course, the figure is one of the things I'm most excited about. How about the sprue kits? You want to cover those real quick?
Bandai, I believe.
Yep. So there were four figures here. There was Carter, there was Palmer, there was a smaller chief and a bigger chief. Is that it?
Yeah, level 2 chief and level 3 chief.
Yeah.
The difference between level 2 chief and level 3 chief is level 2 chief is $20 and can be built in 30 or 40 minutes. Level 3 chief, if you ever built Gundam models, is what's called master grade. And it's a lot more intricate and takes a lot longer and is a lot bigger. And I think he costs $60.
Okay.
Yes, correct. All those are out and available on store shelves right now.
So I'm looking at, in fact, Big Bad Toy Store. That's the first link that popped up. And the level 3 Master Chief is $69.99 US. Then the Sarah Palmer is $24.99 pre-order. So I'm guessing the Carter one is probably $24.99 pre-order as well. Let's see. Looking here.
Yeah. Toys R Us is actually running a sale on them right now. I got a whole entire set of them. With a buy one, get one 40% off. And so they're the smaller level 2s were marked at $19.99, and the larger one was actually $55. So
there you go.
Okay. But all the level 2s, $24.99, and then the level 3 is $69.99 from what was there.
Well, and I think Amazon and other places, you can get the Spur Kit level 2s. You can get them for $19.99 or $20. I remember when Kevin first got his sets earlier before Comic-Con, they were like, what, $20, Kev?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you look around, you can save online anyways.
Right. Just kind of search around your normal toy stores and, of course, check your local deals, or if you have a local comic store, see if they have something special. I don't have any local comic store, so it's really hard to find that kind of stuff. It's sad. I kind of like the level 3 Master Chief and this one too, although I still think the NECA one was top notch in my book, at least. But yeah, on the stream right now, I have the three. I have the level the three level 2s there.
You have the level 2s, yeah.
And
then Thorn, Chief, and Palmer.
Well, there's a whole different experience. I mean, the sprue kits are, you're gonna, you know, are assembling them with the model like quality, and you know, some people are going to paint them up, other people aren't. They're also probably going to have a little bit more articulation because they are articulated at almost every joint. So, I mean, you're going to be able to put them in almost any pose you want. The NECA one, it is poseable and definitely has articulation, but he's not going to be able to do half the poses that the sprue kits are.
And here's me going to push the PlayArts Kai brand for Square Enix again. If you like what you see with these sprue kits and you like what you see with the NECA, the Square Enix ones are larger than this. They're 8 or 9 inches tall, and they're a great mixture of quality and articulation. Sorry, I got to pimp Square Enix because I love them.
There you go.
I got the stand.
I got the level 3 Chief one up there now on the stream.
I really wish 343 or whoever put that stand in, that would come with other kind of lines of figures. That's a really cool stand.
It's a really nice base with it, too.
Well, that's, sorry, base. I call it a stand, but yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it. The BR and the AR, I'm assuming you could probably interchange those, right?
Yes, and I think it comes with a pistol, too, according to the picture, doesn't it? Or is that a grenade launcher?
It's just another hand. No, it's just a hand.
Oh, okay.
I didn't take
He's got a hand on his hip?
Oh, that's a pistol. Those two pistols on his hip.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Is it a pistol or the sticky launcher?
Sorry, I was looking at the bottom of the glass plate there. Yeah, that's two pistols on either side, I believe. And I didn't take a close look at the rest of the pieces that were in there to see
What I really like about this level 3 compared to its counterpart in the Square Enix line is Bandai actually went in on the visor and did the little honeycomb thing on the visor. They actually did that with a clear piece of plastic and it's underneath. And I think it's cool that they added that detail that even another company hasn't done yet.
So I have it up here on the stream from another angle from the right side. And yeah, it's just two pistols. And then on the ground, there's the hands.
Yeah, no, but the level 3 Bandai kit we're looking at now, I just like the detail on the visor that they put in that other companies haven't. Mm-hmm. That's attention to detail that they put in. And I really approve. You can actually see it in the picture there if you're able to zoom in on it.
Yeah, let me pull up a different picture of it. There's a lot of detail that I've noticed going into a lot more of the models nowadays than there were in the past. And I think that's just because it's been out for a while. People are finally kind of realizing the full potential that you can get with some of the detail on here. It'll take a couple of seconds for it to update, but I have the torso shot that I took up here. And it has the same kind of honeycomb pattern as the NECA one had.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That in the visor, if you look, that visor that they, like Square Enix charges more for their figures. Even their Halo 4 Chief doesn't have that visor detail that they have. And, you know, Bandai was able to do that for a less expensive price point. And I applaud them. Thumbs up, you know, hats off to them that they were able to get, you know, however, you know, whatever angles, you know, or whatever the corners they cut to keep that price low, they still got that detail in there. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Got it. And it's a lot of these things that I saw there had a lot of detail in one way or another. So the ones here, though, the sprue kits, all the green is kind of the same color green, which is one of the reasons why I like the Square Enix and the NECA ones better, because it does have a little bit of grade. It has kind of the worn down feel that you get from the Halo 4 Master Chief. But other than that, from just the detail and the angles on all these things is really cool. It's just the colors are still kind of simplistic compared, I think, to some of the other things that I saw there.
Well, Kevin would be able to get in on those. Yeah, well, you guys have seen them. I've never actually... Well, I've seen them at Comic-Con, but I don't have any of the screw kits. So you guys would be able to comment on the colors and detail and that.
Well, they're molded colors. You know, there's no paint on them.
Right.
And because they are models, that gives you the chance to paint it however you want if you feel the need to paint it. Some people are going to be like, I don't want to go that far, but I'll just assemble it and it will look great. But if you want to take it further, then, you know, it's there for you. There's a lot of fine scale modelers that would have a heyday painting him a sprue kit up.
Question: are the visors and the little like say details, are they sticker or are they actually plastic? You know, like the visors, are they sticker, Kevin, or are they plastic? Like the faceplate on Chief or
the visors are all plastic, molded.
Okay,
plastic.
So they're metallic painted plastic. Okay, that was a question I.
No, they are not painted plastic. They are plastic.
Okay.
There's nothing painted on him.
It's all mold color plastic.
Okay, whatever. The plastic is painted or mold injected, whatever color it's supposed to be, accurate plastic, correct?
Yes.
For the visor. I'm not worried about it. Okay, so that was my question. That's why I meant painted.
Okay.
Anyways.
Got it. Next one here I want to hit on is the McFarlane Toys one. So there were two figures that were shown there. One, of course, was the Chief with the cloak, which we've seen in the original Halo, I guess, current gen tees. Is that? Because not really Halo 5. I don't know if it's the Halo 5 tees officially anymore.
Just call it Poncho Chief.
Poncho Chief. There you go. So this is the one with he has the bolt shot in his hand, and you can actually replace it to just have a normal hand. But again, I think there was some detail in the visor on this one too. And then the poncho was molded to it. It's not like just free hanging there.
Yeah, it's a molded plastic poncho, but I have to say they did a really great job capturing the texture of the fabric. I mean, it's very rough and coarse, and it feels like a nice texture on there. Pictures don't do it justice. You've got to see one in front of you, in your hands. You got to feel it to really appreciate the quality of the figure. And the Chief figure that goes underneath the poncho, I'm sure they did reuse some of the molds, but they actually have a back piece that removes so he can fit inside the poncho cloak. Still though, they kind of made it so that his head is a little bit low. The helmet seems to be floating in his collar. I wish they would have raised it up just a little bit more, to give there a more pronounced look. Right now you can find these actually in stores. They're available right now. People have been spotting them mostly in Walgreens of all places.
Well, that's the same thing that happened with the last Halo figures. They were only in Walgreens or online.
Well, the last assortment, Walgreens had an exclusive, so...
Yeah, the CIO figure.
Yes. These are not, I believe, exclusive to anyone, so they should be showing up probably at your GameStops and your Targets and even Toys R Us's in quantity around the launch day.
Yeah, and there's even a Halo Master Chief from Halo Anniversary 2 or Halo 2, depending on how you want to go about it, which appears to be a re-sculpt of the earlier Halo 2 Chief, but it's in scale with the Halo 4 / Reach figures. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's yes, I believe so.
Let's jump to Mega Bloks, Dusty.
Yeah.
That's what you guys are itching to talk about.
Yeah, so this is one of the things that I actually spent quite a bit of time with them over this weekend. There's actually a podcast interview that I did. I talked with some of the developers, Philippe and Maxime, on the Scarab. So that's going to be coming up in an episode shortly after this one gets released. But you sure you don't want to cover the other McFarlane thing?
Another McFarlane?
Yeah, there's the Master Chief with the dual plasma plasma rifles.
Go for it, Kev.
Yeah, it's the same assortment. There's the Halo 2 Master Chief and then the Halo 5 trailer one in the assortment. The Halo 2 Master Chief comes with probably the most amount of weapons any one Halo figure has ever came with. He's got the two red brute plasma rifles. His assault rifle.
Dual SMGs.
And dual SMGs. And they all can fit on him all at one time, too. It's a really nice figure. I appreciate them coming back out with them in this style.
It'd be kind of funny if you could actually, because of all the figures that come out, you can have all these weapons. It'd be interesting if you could actually do that in game. Just have two pistols on your side, a sword, then like a sniper on your back, and then dual wielding two weapons as well.
As the characters run around with all these, you become just roving weapons.
I know, bottles. Right? Just have this armory just strapped to your body. That'd be crazy.
Come on, man. We all know that Master Chief, you know, like previous FPS guys, just has like a backpack with a micro universe that he can dump stuff into. I mean, look at Duke, the chainsaw, the BFG, a rocket launcher, a minigun. Come on, he's got a pocket dimension. He can just pull it out.
Yes, yeah. The Halo version of the bag of holding.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of the McFarlane toy stuff. I got a couple of them. I got the Didact and the Grunt and the Zealot, I think it is. I can't remember.
There's just so many of those that it's hard to go out and justify trying to get as many of them as possible. It was either, it was either do McFarlane toys or do Mega Bloks, and for me, Mega Bloks won.
Well, I mean, you could put time into them, you know what I mean? I mean, once you get McFarlane stuff, it's already put together.
It's more the money.
Yeah, that too.
And I was a big fan of Legos growing up, so Mega Bloks just fit right in.
Yeah.
But yeah, transitioning over to Mega Bloks, they have the Scarab there on display, the final production version of the Scarab on display, which is a big point to note. Because they had at the Toy Fair, it was just a prototype. So this is the first time we've actually seen the final version there. What do you guys think from the pictures that I took of it?
I think the internet was in awe of the final build of the Scarab. I know some fans were upset at the change in characters that came with it, or that's coming with it. But I think it looks spectacular.
I think it's the only Scarab we're ever going to get besides the Action Clicks one. And I thought it looked very good.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, talking with Tim there, who's the social media manager for Mega Bloks, it was the first set to have their new Jackal Sniper model and then the Holographic Prophet. So those are two figures that they introduced.
Did you happen to see if that Prophet was that Prophet lighting up? Because
no,
we were reading on the web that it does light up.
It was not lit up when I was there. I don't think it lights up. I don't see any. I didn't look closely enough to see if there were any battery hatches like on the back or something, but when it was there, it was not lit by anything.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe it's a button cell, if possible.
Well, when I get mine, I'll let you guys know.
Well, of course, you've got one ordered.
Well, I'm guessing a couple of you guys may be having it sent to you as well, if not
Kevin.
No,
I'm just saying, of course you have the Mega Bloks guy, right? So
no, I don't.
You gotta have one.
I don't have it ordered. I'm just getting one.
Yes.
Magic happens.
From what I've seen, it looks really cool. I seen the Forward Onto Dawn, Forward Onto Dawn, and it was huge. So how big is this one?
This one is about.
I think it's the largest they've ever released, isn't it?
I don't know, because I think the Forward Onto Dawn is longer. This one's definitely the tallest set that they have. I think this one's definitely bigger than the Mammoth, but kind of to scale, it's about, I want to say 16 to 18 inches long and maybe about a foot tall, maybe a little more than a foot tall.
Yeah, that's
so maybe square foot wise and the amount of space it takes up, it might be the biggest, but I believe the Forward Onto Dawn is longer than this.
Yeah, I think it is longer.
Because it's 30, the Forward Onto Dawn is 36 inches long, and this is definitely not 36 inches long.
Just to go, you remember how I was talking about Masters earlier with the HUD information that we were talking about in the metal? Sorry to go off on that. He just replied in the chat, so
yeah, you know, I saw that.
Good information.
Yeah.
Scarab Mega Bloks.
Yep.
The size of the Scarab compared to the Ford Undone. That's what you guys are talking about.
Right. So it's definitely.
It is. The final build is 26 inches long by 14 and a half inches high.
And this is a Scarab?
It didn't feel like it was over 2 feet long.
That's what she said?
That's officially its measurement.
That's
didn't
still
feel like it's 2 feet long.
See, that throws it off for me because the pictures that I seen, it didn't look that big.
In person, it didn't seem that long.
It's taken directly from Mega Bloks' site. 26 inch long by 14 and a half inches high.
Okay.
That's massive. That's big. That's a lot bigger than I thought it was.
It didn't seem that big to me lengthwise. Height? Yeah. Length?
And I believe
it might just be because of how it looks, because it's on stilts essentially. So it could just be thrown off by that because it's not on the ground. It didn't seem like it was that long in person though. But I'll take your word for it.
It's the largest build by block number also.
Yes, it is the most pieces of any set that they have.
That alone is impressive for actually a pretty good deal at $250.
And that was the same price as the Ford Undone went, too.
I think Ford Undone was just a little bit cheaper than that.
It was $250 retail.
Not much.
It was $250 retail. Because I looked it up whenever I went to go buy it off of eBay. So.
Such a wretched place of hive and villainy, eBay.
I managed to pick it up for like $325, so it wasn't too much more than retail.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, well, there are a few of them that...
When did you pick it up?
About a month and a half ago.
Oh, okay, never mind. I was going to be like, because Kevin was trying to get me to buy him some and get in on this when the sets were only like $160 at like Walmart or Toys R Us or somewhere like that. When they still had them on.
Well, I know there were a few that went on eBay for like $170, $190, but I just, whenever I was looking at the time, I just didn't have the money to get it.
And which one? What is this?
The Ford Undone. Dawn.
Oh, okay.
On eBay? Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I missed out on the Ford Undone Dawn and the Mammoth. I don't know. I may get this. I may just get this. It's going to... it's gonna break the bank.
Well, you know, you really haven't missed out on the Mammoth because that's available at quite a few sites for around $150 still. So
I bought that already.
That's a little bit less than what Toys R Us was initially offering it at.
Right. Yeah, I'll take a look around. The Scarab is something that I liked. I like taking them down in Halo 3. And to have something that you kind of know how big it was in the game to see it, like, on the spot. I mean, the Mammoth was cool. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I think the Scarab has something a little bit more that I'm looking forward to.
Did you see the Duplo version of the elephant that someone posted?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh, someone posted on Halo Collector let me dig it up. But you guys know what Duplo is, right?
Yeah.
It's like the baby version of Lego.
It's the giant block version of Lego, yeah.
Yes, but someone posted this, and I swear it's the elephant. You guys tell me if I'm wrong or not. I'll give you a link to the picture. Hold on a second. Okay. Search.
It's a very six-wheeled vehicle, very brightly colored.
But it looks like the elephant. I swear it does.
You mean the Mammoth?
No, it's not the Mammoth. It's the elephant from Halo 3.
Well, do you guys see that? Yeah. No, well, I mean, Kevin posted it, but there was a build of the Pillar of Autumn made out of Legos, which was freaking insane. How big was that thing again?
That was over, like, 5 or 6 feet long.
Wow.
Holy cow. That's crazy.
Lost count on how many construction toy blocks he used.
Are you talking about the Pillar of Autumn or the Spirit of Fire?
The Pillar of Autumn.
You know, the guy that made the Spirit of Fire, they just announced it's 7,000 pieces and it's 7 or 8 feet long.
That's crazy. I mean, I seen, what was it, at RTX, the guy put the battle rifle together, and how long was it? 4 hours? 5 hours?
Took him about four and a half hours, yeah.
That was really cool. I've never seen stuff get put together like that, that quick. So I can't imagine the amount of time these people put these things together like that.
Well, and he did that based off of just a picture that he pulled off his phone, and it was 80% to scale.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I held it and took a picture with it. It was mind-boggling how close he got to it. I mean, he had the mag, everything ready to go, too. You could slip it in and out, which was nuts.
It was a beast of a build.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I think he picked up every single one of the sets that they were handing out there at the booth that weekend.
Yeah, that was probably the coolest thing that they had built there. No offense to anybody else that was building stuff, but I think that one took the cake.
No, that was
crazy.
That was definitely the best build that was made at RTX. Hands down. So that covers all the stuff that they had to show off at New York Comic Con. We didn't get much else to talk about, but we will be, I know here for Podtacular, we will be giving away one of the journals that we picked up. And I think over at Halo Collective, we're going to be giving one away over there as well, along with the poster book and with some of the Mega Bloks stuff. I have a few more of the con exclusive Blue Science Spartans.
Minifigs.
Yeah, the minifigs. So we'll be giving those away at some point as well.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
We'll definitely be giving some stuff away here soon. We hit some numbers in our group. We're over 2,000 now, so it's about time to give away some more prizes to some of our fans.
Maybe a copy of Forward Under Dawn on DVD and a limited edition copy of Halo 2, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I got some stuff I need to give away.
Like the metal case one?
Yep.
Nice.
Mm.
Well, that's going to cover everything, I believe, tonight. Next podcast after this one release is going to be the interview that we had with Mega Bloks. Tim, who is the social media manager, is on there, as well as two of the set designers, Felipe and Maxime. I forget what their last names are, but they were on, and we had about a 20-minute conversation after New York Comic Con closed on Sunday, and just kind of talked about the design process of how they go about building a set, how they go about designing compared to some of the models that they get from 343, and going in gaming, getting pictures that way. So it's some interesting stuff that if you are a Mega Bloks fan, or if you're one of those people that really goes and makes out your own sets of these kind of things, you'll probably want to take a listen to it, kind of get some ideas of how they get some of the inspiration behind their designs and behind some of their final products that they actually end up putting out. So that'll be coming out really soon. Laird, Kevin, any last comments from the Halo Collector side standpoint?
Come to our site.
I've been told this, and I think it's going to be interesting. This is the tip of the iceberg for new stuff to come out. What we're seeing now is nothing compared to what's in line. So over the next year, wow, we're in for a huge amount of awesome Halo items. So open that wallet.
you mean start saving, basically, right?
Open that wallet. Please join.
Clear that credit card.
The website. That's what he's trying to say.
There you go. You only get the stuff through him when they're giving out free stuff.
That's right.
Wink, wink. All right. Rudge. Well, that's going to cover everything tonight. Like I said, I want to give a huge shout out to Halo Collector. Obviously, they were able to get me to New York Comic Con and give you guys coverage and take a first look at all the stuff that's going to come out here pretty soon. Couldn't have done without you guys. Really appreciate you guys getting me out there. And you can obviously find them over at HaloCollector.com, which redirects to their Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/HaloCollector for now. That will change in the future. And then you can also find them on Twitter at Halo Collector, and there's not an official YouTube yet, but Kevin, do you want to plug your YouTube channel, or do you want to wait until you have the official channel out?
Just go to HaloCollector.com. I've got the links to everything there.
One thing that should be cleared up is it was 100% Kevin that got you New York Comic Con, not me. I had nothing to do with it, just so you know.
Fair enough.
All Kevin.
Yeah, I thank you for going to Dustin and covering it for us. That was there's a lot more than just, you know, getting in the door that is associated to going to a convention. And that was awesome.
Thank you for representing us properly also. We heard good things.
Yeah, thank
you. We didn't hear anything bad. That's what I meant to say.
That's good to hear. I have a couple of things to follow up with you guys after the podcast is done. But as far as getting the podcast wrapped up, make sure you guys check them out again, HaloCollector.com. And make sure you check out our website, podtacular.com. We'll be posting links to all the pictures that are linked over on Halo Collector's Facebook page. So you can check everything out that we talked about tonight, as well as get some more details on some other things that are coming up. There were some other announcements that were made during New York Comic Con. We'll touch those on a separate basis at another time. But lots of cool things coming out, like Kevin said. I did get word of some interesting things that might be coming out later. I didn't get any specifics, but there are lots of hints and teases as to what he said. This is just the tip of the iceberg of stuff that's going to be coming out, gearing up towards the launch of Halo 5, of course. But make sure you check out our website. Please go on over and check out the forums. If you're listening, we would love for you to be a part of the community that's growing, especially with the Master Chief Collection coming out. We're going to want everyone who listens to the show be over there so we can get to know you, get to play with you when it comes out. So please head on over to the forums, sign up, get in with the conversations. With all the IGN First stuff that's been coming out and with the New York Comic Con stuff that we've been covering, there's lots of things to talk about, so we would love to have your guys' input. And who knows, maybe something that you say might pop up on the show. We're going to be really focusing on having those forum topic of the week segments because of stuff that's been talked about. So you can expect that in one of the next episodes coming up here pretty soon. Other ways to get involved are, of course, our game nights, and those happen right now on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Tuesdays is Tactical Tuesday, which happens at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, and that's when we go through a bunch of different games, including Halo 3, Halo Reach, Halo 2 Vista, and Halo 4, Halo 3 ODST, and go for matchmaking or go for achievements for those who need them. And then, of course, we have Wacky Wednesdays, which is our custom nights, and that's on Wednesdays at the same time, and we've been doing mostly Halo 4 lately just because we have the custom games for that, but we're hoping that once we get hit with the Master Chief Collection, that will broaden out into Halo CE, Halo 2, Halo 2 Anniversary, Halo 3, and of course Halo 4. And we'll be having nights mostly on the Xbox One side of things. We will jump back into the 360 side of things every now and then for those who are still stuck on the 360 waiting maybe for Christmas to get your Xbox One and your Master Chief Collection, so we don't leave you guys in the dark because we love everyone that loves Halo. Not just one particular side of things.
So we're going to go back to OG Halo?
We could. I still have Halo CE on the PC and Halo 2 Vista.
No, not PC. No, we got to go really old school. Xbox Kinect.
Oh, boy.
Oh. On OG Xboxes, huh?
That's right, man.
Okay. I have Halo CE downloaded on my 360. So we definitely could go and boot up some X-Link Kai, Xbox Kinect, or whatever. But wrapping some other things up, make sure you check out our podcast network. It's thepodka.st. That is our podcasting site that we are part of. It's our sister podcasting network. There are lots of things over there as far as some other podcasts that you can listen to, which is Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast. There is Critcast, which is a TF2 podcast. There is Reachcast, and then there is How to Murder Time and Work in Progress. So make sure you check out those podcasts as part of our podcast network. Really good podcast to go listen to if you're really interested in picking up on some other things. Make sure you guys check out our social networks, of course, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We've been posting up some of the B-roll footage that's been coming out from a lot of the news announcements lately. And of course, if you guys have noticed from our Instagram, we've been posting the kind of daily countdown to the launch of the Master Chief Collection. So make sure you just head on over to all those. Most of the places you can get to are just poddeco.com/ whatever. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Make sure you check out our live stream on Thursdays. That's usually when we record our live shows. It's going to be a little more often now just because we're on the final stretch in the final month down to the Master Chief Collection launch, which is going to be awesome. Again, it's a month from the day of this recording, so it's right now October 15th, 28 days away. Cannot wait for it to come out. It's going to be so great.
It's going to be sick.
Can't wait. It
comes out on the 11th, not the 15th.
No, today's the 15th of October.
Yeah, but you were saying it's a month out, so wouldn't that be less than a month?
No, it's 28 days, 4 weeks out.
Yes.
Right. Anyways, that'll wrap it up for tonight. Thank you, Laird and Kevin, for coming out. Thank you, everyone, who tuned into the live stream with us, and we will see you guys very soon. Keep on fragging Halo figures.